Thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. To learn more about City Place Church, visit cityplacechurch.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at City Place Church.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to City Place Church Online.
Good morning. It's Sunday. Good morning.
Hello.
No, we have forbidden the hello, but we are excited that you're here. We're not allowed. You're not allowed to do that. But you can have your own personal dance party.
That's right.
In your living room or Church wherever you're watching from. In fact, we want to know where you're watching from this morning. Right. Will you take a quick selfie and tag us at City Place Church? Will you show us where you're watching from this morning? I wish I had my camera. We would do a big service selfie right now to show you where we are at this morning. But we are excited that you're here. So will you tell us your name and where you're from in the chat to get us kicked off? And if you're new,
we want you
to do something different. If you're new, will you put your name and just put new? We would love to know that.
That's right. We've got our team waiting just to greet you this morning. So again, if you're new, put new. And my name is Damon. This is my first time. That'd be great. Our team wants to come around you. But if you haven't, and if you've been here before, tell us your name, where you're from. We're so excited to have you this morning. And we pray that you've enjoyed the moment of worship that we had just to invite God's presence into this day. You know, the Bible says that we enter his gates with thanksgiving and we come into his courts and his presence with praise. And so we hope that you are ready to go and to lean in level 10 to what God, we should lean in. Come on, ready? Lean in. Level 10 to what God has to say to you today. Now, you got to break down level 10.
Level 10 is three things. You remove the distractions. You take notes. So notes can be found at cityplacechurch.com/notes this morning. Go ahead and quick hit print or get it ready on your device. And then the last one is that you lean into the conversation or you add, contribute to the conversation. So if you would normally be there and be like, oh, amen, or ouch, that one hurt, then go ahead and type that in the chat box too. We will just as a family have a big conversation this morning. Tell us what's going on in your life. So get ready to lean in.
That's right.
Because we're getting ready to rumble this morning.
And hey, and we see you guys posting already. Keep it going. Keep interacting with each other on Facebook and YouTube. We're so excited that we, even though we're not at your house, we are one big family. And we know that God's going to say something and do something special today.
So good. Babe, we've been talking about some things and we're going to be building upon that today. No pun on words, nothing intended there.
Fine.
But we've been building a session called Rebuilding Broken Places that we leaned into before. And today we're going to be building upon that with a message titled Built to Last.
That's good. I like it.
Built to Last. If you're with somebody in your living room, just turn to them and say, Built to last. I'm built to last. I love it. I'm super excited about today. Should we lean in?
I think we should lean in. Let's pray. And then we'll just go for it.
Do it.
We're going level 10. Level 10. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. We invite you into this moment where we get to share and engage in this conversation around your word. God, thank you that you are rebuilding places that need to be repaired and need to be made stronger. And God, as we are walking through this season as a nation, as families, God, we pray that we don't leave this season without getting everything from you that you've designed for us. In Jesus' name, change us, empower us, and we thank you for those that's going to meet you for the very first time today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, as we were preparing to present the word of God this week, I told you, like, right after Sunday morning service, I was like, babe, I got something brewing in me based on what you talked about, because you gave us five blueprint points for rebuilding our life. And so I think those are good foundational points. Can you just go through those really fast, just in case everyone didn't get the notes, which you can download at cityplacechurch.com/notes. We've got the notes there for you as well to follow along.
Yes, absolutely. I hope that you've tuned into Tuesday at 2 this last week. If not, after this session, just tag it, mental note, go back to Tuesday at 2 so you can get these in greater detail. Yeah. But we talked about a five blueprint plan found in Nehemiah chapters 2 and 3 that Nehemiah really demonstrates to us when we're rebuilding something that has been broken. In this case, Nehemiah was traveling from Persia into the land of the Jews and rebuilding a wall that was critical. It was a critical foundation and sort of a fortress around the temple and the people of God. And so he offers us a five blueprint plan. Number one is that we need to see what God said last. God say last in our lives? Nehemiah draws upon something that Moses declared to the Lord, or God declared to Moses, rather, and said, look, this is what will happen. My people are going to be scattered, but if they will obey my commandments then and return to me, if they will bring their lives and recenter back to me, I will redeem them. I will bring them from wherever they are.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's okay.
It's amazing to me, as you were talking about how God declared that to Moses, God is a redeeming God.
Yes, he is.
He never lets us stray away, or he never lets us sit in a circumstance, or he never lets us go through crisis alone.
Yeah.
He always has an exit strategy. There's always a promise of God outside, inside, around us, waiting for us to refocus our attention back on. And so as you said that you were preaching, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just thought to myself, how amazing is God? That even while we're walking through something, there's a promise in the middle, outside the door, around us, where he says, just come back to me and I'll handle everything else that you may be worrying about. I'll bring you to the place that I promised you when I first said it.
Listen, if I had a device, I'd be typing amen in the chat right now.
Tell I didn't preach last
preach
week.
Preach it. Preach it. I know. You come always locked
I
and loaded.
Come this way.
Number two in our blueprint plan is a plan. Nehemiah gives us this thing, and it's so he hears, hey, man, this is happening in the land of the Jews, and he collapses. He collapses with his tears. But the Bible says this, he said in his heart that when I get the chance, I'm going to talk to my king about sending me back with boldness and with strength. Now, there's a lot that goes into this, but Nehemiah said it in his heart, and he did more than just cry. And that is the second part of our blueprint plan. It's okay to be overcome with emotion when there's something that needs to be rebuilt, that God is speaking. But we must, as the children of God, do more than cry. We have to be people of action, people of influence, people that take steps towards doing what God has called us to do. Number three, Nehemiah gets on this 800-mile journey, mounts a horse, takes letters, gets timber, does the whole thing, coordinates the whole thing, gets into the city that he's likely never been before, and he waits 3 days before he sees one thing with his eyes. It's like telling the kids, we're going to Disney, we're going to Disney, we're going to Disney, and then you park your car in the Disney parking lot, and you wait there for 3 days, and you just let them go, are you kidding?
I'm going in.
We've been saying, are we there yet, are we there yet, are we there yet, for the last 52 years. Can any parents relate to me? I mean, it is that kind of anticipation. This is what his life, his eyes as a young Jewish man would have longed to see, but he waits those 3 days, and the question is why? And I believe the answer is this, and it's number three in our blueprint, to catch his rhythm and to gain his courage. He had a long journey ahead of him, and God was very specific about the doors that he opened and where he allowed things to happen and not happen, but he needed to catch his rhythm because this was going to be some effort on his part, and he needed to gain his courage because there was going to be some naysayers that came up in the mix. Let me say this. The enemy is not concerned about you and I while we're just thinking about good things. He is concerned about you and I when we get our feet to moving.
Come on.
And so when we get our feet to moving and we start to say, you know what? This may be in my family line, or this may be something that's happening in my house, and I have allowed this long enough. Today I'm going to do something about it. Today I'm going to pray over my children. Today I'm going to be proactive. I'm going to have family devotionals. Then he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. So he needed to rebuild his courage for that journey ahead. That's the third stop in our plan.
That's good. And even while you were just mentioning that, and I know we're just at the intro to catch you up, but some of you're watching right now, and you've been in this place of holding, and you've just been watching time go by. And you said this, and we preached about this, like this return to normal. I want to just declare to you that now is your time to not wait, but to pursue.
That's good.
You have to pursue the presence of God, which is really you long to know him more. Okay? You have to pursue God. You can't just wait for God. So he's already here. The Bible says you will find him when you search for him with your whole heart. That's Jeremiah 29. He says, you seek me with everything you got, I'll be found. And so while she's talking about catch the rhythm and then rebuild your courage, you will catch that rhythm as you pursue the Father.
Yeah.
So number four, I know number four. Can I just say it?
Yeah,
I mean, I know it because I was in service. Number four is you have to assess the damage. The enemy in this season of life is working to tear something from your hand.
That's right.
To steal some form of promise, to bring something into your house that God never designed. This is when, as we're pursuing God, we go, God, what has the enemy tried to put in this place to break something in my life that you've been building? You have to pause and assess the damage. It is what Nehemiah did when he got up late at night and he said, let me see what needs to be done with these walls.
Yeah.
But he immediately went back to God and said, no, God, if this is going to be rebuilt, I need you to be involved.
Yeah.
And so number four is assess the damage, which leads us to number five, and then we'll jump right in, is that it's what?
Do the work.
It's time,
baby,
to do
the work.
Work.
It's a hashtag.
It's
we say
to
that.
Do the work.
Do the work. Do the work. Let's be the men and women of God that he has called us to be. Let's do the work. Let's not think of the work. Let's not cry in the work. Let's not even assess the work. Let's do the work. Let's rebuild the thing that has been broken. Let's put it on a healthy playing field. Let's put it on a foundation that's not rocky or not nasty. Let's do the work.
That's right. And so this morning we're talking about built to last, but just as Pastor Ty was preaching last week, I said, babe, I got something that leaped on the inside of me. She was mentioning the fact that when Nehemiah decided he was going to build the wall, that there were some men that felt as though they wanted to interject themselves into what Nehemiah had decided to do. So this morning, as you are deciding that you're going to respond to these rebuilding blueprints and you're going to take action, you're going to go back to what God said, you're not going to just cry, you're going to react and you're going to respond and you're going to pursue God, I want to tell you that there are going to be some people and some obstacles that you're going to meet along the way.
Yeah.
See, God has built you to last, but we have to be aware. The Bible says, be aware of the enemy's devices, be aware of the enemy's schemes, because if you're not, when he throws the blow, we could feel like this is not what God has.
Yeah.
And so as we return back to daily routines in life, we have to leave with the full assurance of who God is. It says this in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. It says, then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies in waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to do this good work. What you're building in your life, what God is building in you, is a good work. Verse 19. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us, and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? So I answered them, and I said, the God of heaven will prosper us. Why? Because that's what he first told me. That's the last thing he said, and that's going to be my focus. This is my blueprint. It all starts with God. I'm preaching already. Sorry, babe. So I answered and said to them, the God of heaven will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will hashtag do the work. Arise and build, but you don't have any part in this. You don't have any heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. These are the people and obstacles you will meet along the way. And we're just going to break that down.
I love it because these are the jokers. You know, we call them the three. I was going to say the big three, but they're not.
No.
They feel, though, that they are insurmountable. The Bible says that in Nehemiah chapter 2, just before this happens, and he's declaring to the people, hey, this is vision. We're getting ready. Can you see Nehemiah? He's got a crowd of people. We're going to rebuild the wall. It's going to be awesome. We're going to be restored. And then just on the heels of that, there's these three jokers in the audience who want to give their 2 cents.
Yeah.
Let me say this. A lot of times we are in this place in our nation and just at this state in our time in society that people feel the need and the right to be critical to what it is that we're called to do. And regardless of what people's perspectives are, it will never trump the word of God in you.
Good.
There are people that do not desire for you to have a Christ-centered life.
That's good.
And will they be vocal? Oh, absolutely.
That's so good.
They will be very vocal so that you understand their dissatisfaction. It says this in Nehemiah 10, just before he's giving this speech, that Sanballat and Tobiah heard of what he was going to do.
Mm.
And they were deeply disturbed that a man had come to see the well-being of the children of Israel. They were ticked off at Nehemiah's audacity to see about the well-being of the children of Israel. Now, we talked about the fact that the children of Israel left in this time were the ones who were poor. They had stripped them of their kings. They had stripped them of their skilled laborers. They had stripped them of everything that seemed good. The people that were left were poor. Nobody really cared about them. And Sanballat and Tobiah looked and said, how dare you come see about the well-being of these people that we do not care about, that we have written off? Not everybody in our life, especially the ones that have written us off, like, that's just so-and-so. They're not going to be good at this ever. Or they have this thing and they're never going to overcome. Or they have this attitude and it can never be overcome. They are there to keep us from what God has for us.
That is so good. Can I just say this to you? The only people that can impact your purpose are the ones that we allow to impact our purpose.
Amen to that.
Those are the only people that can impact our purpose are the ones that we allow to impact our purpose. See, as God is rebuilding you and God is pouring things in you, there are things that you have been declaring at your house that focus you on what God said to you. And sometimes the whisper of the enemy has people come into your life to say, why would you believe God for that in this season when everything around you says that it could be coming to your doorstep? Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, you have to go back to blueprint number one. I'm just going to focus on the last thing that God said, which leads me to break down the people you meet along the way, because it says that there was a guy by the name of Sanballat, and I was doing a little study on Sanballat. And Sanballat, here's what his name meant: constant enemy in secret. It's the one that's lying in wait. Did you see how I just did my eyes like lying in wait, babe? Look, it's the one that's constantly lying in wait. It's the secret thing that's been troubling you before COVID-19. It's the problem that you and I haven't been able to shake. But God says, I'm going to eliminate that right now. And it kind of throws up its head and says, God won't do that for you.
Yeah,
I'm still here. It's amazing that this constant enemy was hard to shake. See, what most people may not understand is that Sanballat wasn't a part of the land. Mm. Sanballat was a neighbor. And he was a neighbor that was poking, just looking. No right to God's promise to Nehemiah and his people, but he felt like he had an opinion.
Yeah.
See, don't share what God is doing for you in this season or what you're praying and how you're going after God. Don't share that with everyone, because not everyone is going to be focused on your Christ-centered success. Yeah. It says that they despised them because they wanted to do well for somebody else. So as you're being generous in a season where it seems like you could be living in lack, you could be struggling, but you're like, God, I'm still going to be generous. Don't let anybody distract you from what God's told you to do.
Yeah. I think it's so amazing that Sanballat was doing all of these things in secret as well. It's sort of that pesky thing. And God does care about the things that are just annoyances. He cares about that because it's a slow chipping away of our courage, the same way that the children of Israel were ravaged by the Babylonians. The second figure that we see is Tobiah, and Tobiah means Jehovah is good. I am deeply disturbed by this one. I am deeply disturbed by someone whose name means Jehovah is good, meaning that he understood at some point that God himself was on the throne, completely worthy to be praised, yet chooses to live completely contrary and, in fact, offer more harm than good. See, Tobiah had no business being an annoyance or, frankly, a thorn in the side. And here's what I want to say about this. Sometimes the people that will be your biggest adversary are the ones that are so jealous of what they don't have with their God. See, people that are so desperate and so frustrated about their own relationship with God will be the first to critique your relationship with God.
That's good.
Tobiah understood. Why? Because he represents this sort of like, I'm going to know God here, but I'm not going to have the love of God here. I feel like it's okay for me to be deeply religious or tell you what you should know because Jehovah is good, and that is my name, and that is my heritage. But the character that outflows from him is nothing but religious.
That's good.
Nothing but structured. It has no heart or emotion or humanity. And Tobiah gives us this empty shell that should have had so much promise.
That is so good. See, so the people that we're meeting along the way, these are the things that we might even need to go to ourselves. Am I a Sanballat?
Yeah.
Am I a Tobias?
Yeah.
Well, maybe God's trying to pull that out of me while he's rebuilding me.
Yeah.
Which leads me to person number three. This one caught me by surprise. It says that there was Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. Geshem means rain. Geshem means rain. And I wrote this down. The rain that is meant to destroy is the same rain that God uses to cause growth. The same rain. Geshem said, let's get him.
Yeah.
Let's get him. Let's go get him. And if you look at Nehemiah's response, Nehemiah's response was not to go back and say, you know what, you're right. Nehemiah actually looks at it and says, you know what? I'm going to declare to you that the God of heaven, he's going to be in charge of this project,
yep,
and he will prosper us.
Yep.
He looks at Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem and says, if you think that what you're trying to do is going to stop us, it's actually going to fuel us. Because the Bible says that the people said, we will do the work.
Yeah.
We will do the work. And Nehemiah said, the thing that is trying to hurt me is actually going to be the rain that causes us to grow.
Yeah.
Listen, this is what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. This is Joseph talking to his brothers who found out that Joseph had a dream, and they decided that they were going to interject themselves into Joseph's dream by throwing him in a pit. And Joseph ends up having the dream that God had put in his heart come to pass. And this was Joseph's response. He says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Can I tell you that this season of life that you and I are walking in, God will allow this season to produce what he has designed for you in this season to be walked out. But you and I have to go back to the very first thing that God said.
You know, I believe Joseph was successful in that scripture, and what it means for you and I is that he understood that it really wasn't his brothers that he was really talking to. Joseph was able to lift up his head and say, there is a bigger work here, there is a bigger picture, and you have been used as a pawn.
That's good.
From the real enemy that I have, which is not you. The real enemy that I have fights against my God.
That's good.
And I ask you this morning, are you able to look beyond the thing that's getting the nagging? Are you able to look beyond the area of sin, beyond the thing that is your biggest heart cry, and say, it's not you I'm warring? The Bible says we do not war against flesh and blood, but things that are in the spiritual nature. Yeah. Joseph was able to look beyond the people that hurt him. In essence, he was able to look beyond the Sanballat. He was able to look beyond the Tobiah and say, it's not you I'm fighting.
Yeah.
And can you see Nehemiah as he's getting in this place of courage and say, it's not you that stands against us. You don't have any ability. You don't have any power to do that. It is because we come in the name of the Lord, our God,
yeah,
that you cannot fight this. And let me tell you this morning, the obstacles, the thing that the enemy uses, are nothing more than to get us distracted from the plans and the purposes of God. Does he use people? Yes. Does it sting us? Yes. Absolutely. But let me tell you what he wants. He wants to plant a seed of resentment that causes you to put down roots that will spring up weeds. And then I can no longer move because I have roots in the ground, instead of being used by the Lord to say, you know what? Uproot any offense that I have. Uproot any drama that I have, because it's not you that I'm fighting. It is the enemy, the true enemy. The enemy seeks to distract us and discourage us in our faith. So let me ask you a question, just plain and simple this morning. Can you look beyond the obstacle to see it in the spirit? Another way of asking it would be to circle back to the very beginning and to say this: are you built to last? Can you lift up your head beyond what it seems like you're fighting and taking all of your strength to do it?
Yeah.
And can you look at it through eyes of the spirit and say, am I built to last? Are you built to last?
The reason why we are so passionate about this morning, talking to you this morning, is because we realize that everything is around us is getting back open. And one of the things that we've said is new normal. We talked about that. But we said we didn't want to return back to normal, that we wanted to have an urgency for the presence and power of God. But we also have to know that there are some things that the enemy is not going to be comfortable with.
Right.
And we have to expose him at the beginning, so that as we go back, we want the urgency of the presence of God to continue to go high and high, and our intensity to go greater and greater and greater. And so this morning, we just decided that we just expose the enemy for who he is and let you know not only people, but the obstacles. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a person.
Yeah.
It could be that thing, that secret thing that's been following us around, that's that constant enemy of your life.
That's right.
That's it. The third thing that we talked about was just the rain. The fourth thing is, this one hit me, because Nehemiah was a part of the story.
Yeah.
So we have Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, and then we have the real you, Nehemiah. Nehemiah could have been an obstacle in the story. You and I could be an obstacle in what God wants to do. Pastor Ty, last week, she gave us the five blueprints, the 5 points of the blueprint. If we don't put those in to practice, could we be the obstacle to what God wants to do? Mm. And it's amazing that Nehemiah could have put himself and said, we will remove you. But he didn't spend time focusing on the obstacles himself. He said, God, you're going to prosper us. This is not about me. It's not about their words. This is about you. So in the season where God wants to build us, God has put the elements for us to last. It's in this season where we find out the real who we are.
It's so good because Nehemiah had made a choice to overcome each one of these 4 things, including himself. And in every time he had to declare the word of the Lord, every time I see Nehemiah just saying, I am built to last. I am built to do this. God has spoken to me. I am built to do this. And this morning, I just invite you to make this a part of your daily declaration. Say out loud, I am built to last.
I am built
to do this. I am called by God to live in this moment, in this season, in this house, with these kids, in this with this husband. I am called to be here. I am built to last. I will not crumble. I will not break. I have the blueprint that I need. I am built to last. Can you ask God, can you stand in the firmness and the strength that you have that he's given you? Just declare it over yourself. Declare it over yourself this morning. I am built to last. How do we overcome obstacles? And we'll close and bring it to a close with this. How do we begin to overcome the people and the things that are rightfully so coming our way? We focus on the Lord. We focus on the Lord. It's part of our number one blueprint. We focus on what God said. And when Nehemiah began to build that wall, he began to do it with the foundation of worship. We build on what God said. We sing back to him the word of God. We repeat back to him the word of God.
So good. That's so good. I love what you were saying right there. We focus on what God said and we worship.
Yeah.
We focus on what God said and we worship. So as we wrap up, just one thought. How do we respond? How do we respond to the obstacles and the people along the way? We go back to point number one of our blueprint. We focus on what God said last, and we worship. I wrote this down. Psalms 127, verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord builds our life, we all labor in vain. We have to make sure that God is the priority of this season and that he deserves our worship.
That's right. You know, will you just repeat back to God this morning that declaration that we said just a few minutes ago? I am built to last. I am built to last. I'm not going anywhere, God. I will give you your worship. I will understand what you said. You know, maybe this morning you find yourself in a place where you'd say, Pastor Damon, Pastor Ty, I believe that God is speaking to me. I'm reminding myself I'm going to commit this declaration. But maybe this morning you would also say, if I'm honest with you, I am just a little bit removed from God. So while I can muster up my own courage, I don't know how to attach myself to what God is speaking. And this morning I'd love to just pray with you, if that is you, and you say, God, I want you to become greater in my life. I want you to become the center of my life. I want to rededicate my life back to you so that I have something that will be built to last beyond me and beyond my physical strength. We call that in our space coming back to Jesus or committing for the very first time or recommitting your life to Christ. Maybe you once served him. And it's a very simple, a couple of sentences that just declare, God, I believe that you died for me, that you rose for me, and that you are at the center of my life, and I submit my life to you this morning. And so if that's you and you say, my life is built to last, my life is built to last, I am built to last, but God, I'm clinging on to you as that resource. Will you repeat this prayer with me and after me this morning? We can do it as one big corporate body wherever you are this morning. Just repeat these very simple words after me. Say, Jesus,
I believe
that you died for me,
that
you rose from the dead,
and
you are seated in heaven.
And
because of that,
I declare
my faith in you this morning.
I am a Christian,
built to last.
Now teach me your ways.
Teach me where to rebuild.
Teach me where to rebuild.
And I will honor you
with
my life.
In Jesus'
name.
Amen.
As we say that prayer, we understand that heaven is having a great big party,
whether
that's a recommitment for you this morning or whether you've said it for the first time. We join with you in excitement. We want to know that you've made that commitment or recommitment this morning. So will you let us know in the chat that this, you've made this big, bold move because we're so proud of you this morning. You can do that by texting us at City Place Church.
That's right. Right now, our team is posting information. You can put text 407-393-8426. Just put, yes, I accepted Jesus along with your name. Our team wants to come around you and just send you some resources and encourage you on some next steps. And there's some other things that the team is posting, resources online as well. That's available to you. But we just want to be some of the first people to say, well done on the decision that you made.
The final thing we do in our times of worship are we love to join and worship God with our giving. And so just as a church family, this is sort of like you popping into the kitchen, opening up the refrigerator and grabbing yourself some snacks. This is family. This is your house. This is City Place Church Online. And we do everything communally here as we worship the Lord. We do it with our praise and our worship, with our acts of service, and also through our financial resource. Let me just tell you, City Place, I am so blown away by your generosity. I want you to know that we are still, even in the midst of a global pandemic, continuing to send financing over to the edges of the earth, to other countries. We are sowing seed inside of our own communities. We are sowing seed. You guys are so generous. I want you to know that you are the hands and the feet of Jesus in this season that people are retreating and feeling like, oh, what's going to happen to me? You are a generous church. And I just want to tell you, well done in your generosity. I am so excited to be a part of a generous church. And you can join us as well this morning in this act of worship. You can do that online, cityplacechurch.com/give. Give. And this morning, we honor the Lord with our giving. Our team is putting up other technological resources as well that you can give via text and other ways.
And before we pray, I want to give a shout out to the City Place Church Dream Team. For all that you're doing, kids and welcome team and production staff and everyone, small group leaders, you're doing so well. And we just want the world to know how honored we are to be able to see you flourish in this season and serving God's house and making sure that the word of God continues in this season. So well done. But let's pray as you worship the Lord with your giving. Again, thank you for all that you're doing in the season to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Father, we love you today. We thank you that as we sow, God, I just pray that your hand remains fixed on your kingdom finances. Let this city and the world continue to be impacted, and let your church, the Church of Jesus Christ, continue to be your hands and feet and represent you well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Worship the Lord with your giving. And thank you for hanging out with us this morning.
Oh, yeah. We'll see you right back here next Sunday and also this week for Tuesdays at 2 Online.
That's right.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.